it's Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. Sorry, it was a bad, probably a bad question to ask right before we went on the air.
I think we should ask the audience.
803-0930 to join us this morning, 803-0930 on our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, or by giving us a call, 803-0930. Joe, we were talking about it this morning, and it's one of these topics that I think it's super interesting just because it's rare that you have a singular topic talked about in so many different ways. The way that this has. Start times for schools.
Ah, yes.
And we've been talking about this a lot over the last year, year and a half or so, mostly because of the city of Buffalo.
Right.
But now there's a lot of suburban districts kind of going in, taking a look. Hey, should we change the bell times throughout the school district? And I think it's super interesting because, as you know, we were talking with some of our guests this morning. Over the last year, we were talking about this in the city of Buffalo because of transportation. I mean, they've had this transportation crisis. It takes them a long time to get kids to school, or you know, some the shortage in bus drivers. Like it was wreaking havoc on students in the Buffalo school district. So they talked about changing the bell times. You know, three different bell times to get these buses all over the place. That was their main issue. We're talking about changing the start times in Williamsville. And their point is, well, kids who are, you know, 16 years old, like around their high school age kids, need more sleep and they'll perform better if they start later in the day. So let's flip-flop it and have the high school kids start when the elementary school kids start right now and vice versa. And in Sweet Home, they're talking about changing the bell times in school to add about 15 minutes or so of instruction per day into some of the classes. So everyone's talking about the same issue, changing, you know, what time should school start, but everybody has a different reason on why they should do it.
Yeah, it's it was interesting when the city did it and the way they did for the bus times. It's interesting to hear about the, Williamsville doing this because of sleep necessary from teenagers, right? And this idea of, you know, moving it now to almost 9 o'clock to go to school, which, by the way, you know, the older you get, the closer you get to being an adult and, you know, the average adult, I don't know if it is anymore now with everyone working from home, you know, it's a 9 to 5 day, closely resemble that. But then you go to college and you have an 8 a.m. class.
I was thinking about that. We were talking about this the other day, you know, how they're looking at things in Williamsville. And then it came up, you know, with our situation. My son, my oldest, is going to kindergarten next year. And now this comes from my wife because you think I'm looking up the start time of school in September of next year, you know?
Yeah, no, it's January.
She knows this. His start time, guess what time he will start school for kindergarten of next year? What time school starts?
I'm trying to think what time I started when I was in kindergarten. I don't know, 7:30?
That would seem reasonable.
Yeah.
That's the time he gets dropped off now, and I think they start a little either like right at 8 or before, like 8 o'clock is what I would have. I'm pretty sure when I was that age and like through elementary school, it was 8 o'clock.
That sounds right.
I think in high school, it was 8:30 for me.
So I always got there early because I had to prepare for the morning announcements.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not actually sure what time we were supposed to be in homeroom.
9:30.
What? For kindergarten?
Yeah.
Through 2:30?
I don't know. Through whatever, you know, through whatever the end of the day is.
I definitely did not go to school.
I think it's 3:30.
Okay, I definitely did not go to school at 9:30. We did get out at 3:30 because, like you said, when we were in school, it got earlier as you moved to school. And then by the time you're in the high school, you got out at 2:30.
9:30?
That's ridiculous. I mean, that's really tough for parents.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I would move that schedule because of parents.
By like 9:30... they're worn out.
You're ready
like,
for snack.
I don't know what time everyone else's kids wake up, but like my son's pretty much up. I mean, you know, there are days they'll sleep until like 7 o'clock or so. Like you'll get a nice night's sleep out of that. But especially my older, he's up at 6 or so. Oh. You know, 6:30.
Don't tell me that never changes.
No, not really. I mean, he gets up earlier now than my soon-to-be 2-year-old, who, you know, he'll sleep till, on the weekends, if you don't wake him up, he'll sleep till 7 or so, and, you know, he has a nice night's sleep.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're, you know, we're consistent throughout the week, throughout whatever, with the bedtimes. He's going to be doing stuff throughout the day. Like, what's he doing? Homework? No. It's in kindergarten.
Right.
Right, like, what? He's going to be watching I feel like that's not a great way to enter the school day, is watching I'm not going to be there.
Right.
My wife's not going to be there. Right? Like, this is... what working adult is going to be there?
That's the thing. 9:30 for any working adult is...
Every working family is going to have to, just about, unless you have a later shift, which, you know, some people do, or maybe you work from home, but, like, just about every working family is going to have to find some solution. So we were, like, going crazy at 9:30.
The before school program?
That's wild. We talked with Michael Cornell, and I thought it was hilarious. He said that when they talked about this in Hamburg, that a lot of parents like the idea of the older kids starting earlier and getting out later, because of after school, the older kids could see after the younger kids. Well, what if there are no older kids?
Like, that's right. Yeah.
You know? I mean, and for real, that's probably going to become more the norm than normal. People are having less kids.
Yes.
I mean, there's not as many big families as there used to be.
Right.
But I was thinking the opposite. You know, for getting them to school the day, like, that's difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it might be easier to figure out, you know, 3 in the afternoon as opposed to 7 a.m. You know, it's you ask, you know, grandma or a neighbor or somebody else to, you know, get your kid on the bus if both parents have to go to school. It's probably an easier ask. 3 o'clock.
To pick them up from the bus.
Then, hey, can you wake up?
Yeah.
Drag yourself out of bed.
Do your
like
morning
work
routine.
Again. You know, do all your stuff and be over at 7 a.m.
It is surprising, though, that this has not, 9:30, so that's what they're doing now. I mean, I would imagine this has been an issue for many parents.
Or it hasn't, and I'm in the minority, right? Because, like, if it's...
But I'm listening to your problem, that would be the same problem for my family. I mean, right here are two families that would be an issue for.
Sure, but they do it.
Yeah.
Right. But, like, that's the thing that makes this, like, how would you make this decision? I think it's a way tougher decision than anyone would think. You know, I would think, you know, if I was playing this through my head and, you know, in discussions I've had with people, and then I'll always have somebody say, what about this? And this, it happened talking about this because I go, well, wouldn't you reverse this? Like, if 9:30 for a kindergartner, to me, that's crazy. I'd have them start early in the day, and then you'd start the high school kids later because, well, they can get themselves on the bus, lock up the house, or, you know, high school, you're driving to school, or, yeah, you know, you're walking to school, or you're doing whatever. They can kind of handle that on their own in a way that, you know, kids under, what, 8 aren't able to. That's what I was thinking. Then you mention that, and somebody will say, yeah, but if you start school at 9:30 or 10 a.m. in high school and then it goes later, what about all the sports and after-school activities that exist in a high, that they don't really have as much in middle school, right? Like, and then that gets pushed back, and then all of a sudden there's so many different things to juggle that I do think it's a harder decision to make than what you might think of at first glance.
To that point, though, I don't ever remember having a sporting event before 5 o'clock. Like, our practices even weren't till 4. You know what I mean? Like, that seems...
Really?
Yeah, our games were usually 5:30.
We were on the field before... I think before the final bell rang.
For a game?
For practice. Okay. And then for a game, I mean, we were getting dressed right after... We might have had like 20 minutes of downtime, and then we were right there.
You have to remember, we were obsessed with the new lights. So any excuse to flip the lights on,
we bought them, and now we have to use them.
That's how they were. I'm not even kidding.
No, I agree. But, you know, side tangent, it drove me nuts. It drove me nuts in school because, and this is every school across Western New York by now. They had, everyone has this new turf field that is... What is it?
Field turf?
But what is it used for?
Oh, football.
Yeah. It's the football stadium.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to pretend that it's the stadium for everybody. But it's a new turf field with big stands and lights and all this stuff, and it's there for the football team.
Yes.
Look, I'm not offended by that. I get it. But they force everybody to use the same field because it's like, well, no, we got this for all the sports.
Yes, that's everyone.
I mean, I know the huge lines on the field that you can see and you can barely see anything else are the football ones. But, you know, I'm sure you could see that yellow outline for soccer. I always thought soccer was better on a grass field. It is. I mean, there's a reason why professionals play soccer on a grass field. It works better. I liked having when more and more schools had turf. I liked having the advantage of being like a school that still played on grass. But no, everyone gets forced to use the turf field. I remember our field hockey team had like this unbelievable field. Like the way it was maintained, I don't know what they were paying the groundskeeper, but it was like an extra because you'd run around the entire complex. When you ran through the field hockey field, it felt like you were running through quicksand.
Oh, really?
Like, it was so lush, so everything. And the team was good, and I think it was because everyone else is playing on turf, like they're playing on a carpet, and then they come here and they're so slow.
Yeah.
And our team would go somewhere else, and they'd be super fast. It would be like, wow, you know, I'm on ice skates. And, you know, now everyone just plays on the turf field. That's a bad side tangent that I just went on, but it's been bugging me for 12 years.
Well, at Amherst, when I was there, and I'm not bragging, but we as the lacrosse team got more fans than the football team. But as a goalie, I liked the field turf because it would absorb the ball. So bounce shots pretty much eliminated in lacrosse on that field turf. So I'm glad everyone's going back to grass because that is better for the game. But... You know, I think back to elementary school, and you're right. I mean, the earlier start time, because it is easier to put a plan together in the afternoon. Or many schools, like my sister and I, when we were in elementary school, what did we do after school? We went to the after-school program, and that's when I battle people on Pokemon on the Game Boy. There does seem to be more options after school for care. And then, I mean, like you said, obviously it's working for people. They're doing it now, but... I imagine it's a hassle every year to put that plan in place.
What is the most important factor to you? 803-0930. I'll go to Dominic in Clarence. He's on the line. Dominic, you're on WBEN. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, doing well. What's on your mind?
So I live in Vegas, but I'm visiting my parents still from the holidays in Clarence. I'm a football referee, a high school football referee in Vegas. And we have turf fields, but they're actually switching back to grass fields because the heat is actually melting the black pellets in the turf, which is causing issues. So there's a lot of the schools are switching back to turf. And as far as the start time, like you said, in high school down there, they start at 9:30, and then the elementary school kids start at 7 a.m., actually.
I see. To me, Dominic, and thanks for the call, that's like the way to do it. And that would be the most important thing to me. I would just kind of think getting to school, and again, I think this way because, you know, the back end of that, I'm always home for.
Right.
So like for me, I'm skewed by my own experience, but getting to school is the biggest issue in our house. And so for me, it would just be the, you know, when can you pick? I would pick up the little kids the earliest. They're, I would think, you know, maybe this isn't the case everywhere, but I would think they're up earlier. You know, it's kind of like what they're talking about in Williamsville. Little kids are up earlier naturally than older kids are. They're ready to start their day. I mean, my son, both of them, they wake up. They're ready to go.
Yeah. Nope.
There's no easing into the day.
Hop out, ready to,
do whatever. Like, they're out of bed, boom.
That's how I am.
Let's get going. I am not.
I'm ready to take on the day.
I'm not like that. But, like, that to me would be, if it were up to me, that's how I would make the decision. I'd say, you know what, for getting kids on the bus and then after school, there's... As you said, Joe, a lot more after-school options and programs that are available that you can take advantage of.
I'm a product of the after-school program, and then by the time I moved up to middle school, well, I was old enough to watch over. I was old enough to watch the house, me, my sister, the dog Gretel, the three of us. We never burned the house down. We were able to, you know. But yeah, for elementary school, there are more of those programs than the older you go. I think you're right. It's all about getting your child to school, and I think it's easier to figure out the afternoon. But you know, later I do also tend to agree with. I mean, how much later can you push high school? I mean, I see now 8:50 to 3:40. Okay, that's not that much different than what I remember. But you don't want to push that too much because you brought up sports, Brian. But there's also, I mean, when I was in high school, I had a second job. And most second job shifts start around 4. So that I would also, you don't want to take that away from high school kids that, you know, might be working, saving up towards college or something.
Yeah,
That's not what I was doing. But, you know, for there's some people out there.
And I'm trying to. Oh, that was when we were talking about cell phones in school. That was like one of the things where somebody was saying, you know, oh, I can pick up shifts for work, you know, while I'm at school.
Well, I don't like that excuse. No.
But that, you know, that to me, school's your job until you're.
School's your job, but I mean, is it necessary to go past 4? I guess is what I'm saying. I mean, I think moving it to 8:50, 3:40, like to propose, I think that's fine. I mean, I don't know how much later you want kids sleeping before they go to school anyway. Again, school's also getting you ready for the real world. Most people in the real world do have to be at somewhere before 9 o'clock or at 9 o'clock. Most. Not all. Most.
I mean, I was on the thruway yesterday at, was it 9-something, and it was pretty jammed and backed up. So if they had to be there by before 9, no one was getting anywhere on time.
A lot of people are late.
On our text board this morning, I got a few things in here. Somebody said, when my daughter was in school, I worked nights. The faster she got on the bus, the faster I could go to bed. All right, so there's a vote for that. Somebody else saying, when my daughter started Orchard Park Kindergarten at 9:30, they had to work part-time. At the time, somebody else, changing school start times impacts parents with requiring additional child care before school starts. Today, parent usually drops kids off at school or on the bus on their way to work. They'd have to start work later or send the kids somewhere before the opening bell. And that's not always easy to do. Like, that's the thing about, you know, there's a lot of me and my wife see it. Not a lot of places where you'd have the option to send
get
our
there
kid.
Early.
Well, and as early as we go, you know, 6:30. Like, yep. Not a lot of places are open and ready to take kids at that time if you're working. What do you think? 803-0930. You can let us know here on WBEN. It's Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer on WBEN.
Hi.
We were, you know, talking about school bell times, all that kind of stuff. We'll continue to take your comments, 803-0930. I didn't realize what this person was saying on the text board, mud games. When we were talking about the turf, that's another thing that you lose. Caked in mud. Just like all that. That's a cool thing. Anytime I see one of those commercials where it's like, or like an inspirational poster, you know, some guy just like, you know.
Through mud?
Muddy and, you know, just like looks like he's been through the trenches, you know, walking off the field.
Hell yeah.
Gave it his all. That doesn't exist anymore.
It does. It will in 2026.
For what?
The new stadium.
Oh, for the Bills?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll have real real grass again.
Dominic from Vegas, that's who I know he was in Clarence, but he's Dominic from Vegas now. He had a point. I mean, they are making this push back, especially in colleges, making the push back to natural grass, and I think it's great.
Well, places with a ton of money are making the push back to natural grass. When it comes to high schools, I don't see any pushback to natural grass. It's all going on the turf field.
He said it was in Vegas. The high schools are moving
where it was away. 100 degrees because the stuff was melting. Yeah, I don't think that's happening here. I love it. I love the grass field. It's like the switch has happened here. I mean, when everyone's installing a new, you know, full new field.
Yeah, but like,
turf.
I look at Amherst, right? So when I was a junior, they put the first one down. They've replaced that. I bet when it's up again, instead of replacing it, they'll just put sod down.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. It's because now you're paying for the sod and to maintain it for however many years.
But that's more expensive than putting a new field down?
That's why they put the turf down. That's why so many places switch the turf. That's why there's pushback. You know, you mentioned places switching the turf. not everyone in the NFL. The NFL isn't saying, like, hey, and everyone put in a grass field right now, take out the field turf, because it's more expensive to do so.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, why the switch was made in the first place. Not necessarily because it was way better. It was just you didn't have to maintain it.
But the plate system they're doing in the NFL, where they have the plates of and you can wheel it in and out, that's very cool.
With the grass?
Yeah.
I don't like the look of it.
No?
Where I'm trying to picture, it was the Ravens game last week. And the whole field, it looked like mismatched. Like, it wasn't all the same. Like, it wasn't, it was just like, here's a strip of grass, here's another strip of grass. It looked, the whole reason that I like, because I watch it, I don't play in the NFL, Joe.
Yes.
It's not what I'm doing on Sundays.
I thought you were just doing this for fun.
I watch it. So I just care about how it looks. And the whole reason I like the idea of grass, I like the way it looks.
Yeah, you like the way that looks.
I like the look of it. Like, that looks like grass made on, you know, one of those old Macintosh computers. It's like Oregon Trail grass.
I want it to look good, but I also want my favorite players to be safe. I do worry about that.
Sure. I don't really worry about it when I'm watching the game. Zero times have I thought while watching a football game, oh, wow, you know, like, you've that's never a great turf design, but man, I wish they would switch to natural grass in order to. I would actually prefer if they went back to the AstroTurf.
I know. You're big on the AstroTurf.
The little thin carpet on a cement floor, like, that's cool.
I'm hoping they tear the
AstroTurf
down.
Guys were getting crushed.
So when all those players were getting hurt at MetLife, and then the Bills went in there, it wasn't on top of your mind? Oh, I hope the Bills don't. Oh,
well, that one week it was, because that was all anybody was talking
about. Everyone's
getting
hurt. It's an awful field.
Two people got hurt.
It was a year full of people getting hurt.
I think it was like two, and like that. So, yeah.
Well, the point is, those plates, those grass plates that all started at Virginia Tech, I tailgate right next to the field where they developed it.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, I wanted
to spit on it for me next time. It looks terrible on TV.
I'll tell them.
I prefer the natural. Like, the day that Notre Dame switched to a field turf.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I don't think I've watched a college football game since. What's the point?
I think they've gone back.
They use real grass now?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Because they were using turf for a little while, and I was like, this is. And you could tell, Michigan, too. When Michigan switched to turf, like, what are we doing here? This isn't football.
You know what? I have to tell you, in 2019, I went on that field at Notre Dame. It might have still been turf. I can't remember. It might have still been turf.
Well, I can't tell you the last time I watched a Notre Dame game.
You turned it off in protest.
I turned it off the second it was turf.
Are you going to watch on Monday?
No. Oh. No.
National championship.
Yeah, on a Monday, 9 o'clock kickoff on a Monday night? I'll be in bed.
It's the dumbest thing. I know.
There's zero chance I'll watch it. You know, it's funny. I thought I'd watch more of the college football games because there's more playoff games.
Yeah.
And, like, in the past few years, I have watched the two semifinal games. They play them like back to back on New Year's Eve,
usually.
Great.
Yeah.
And I would always watch. There were usually really good games, you know, featuring good teams. There was a lot at stake. And I thought, like, well, I'll watch a lot more of the playoff. I don't think I have.
Yeah.
There was something about, as it turns out, it's not the stakes. It's not, you know, anything about it that's drawing me to it. It was just, it was on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Yep. New Year's Day.
I'm usually watching a TV somewhere on New Year's Eve. So, like, that's the reason I watched it more than anything.
You did have the quarterfinals, but, I mean, the semifinals being on a random Thursday and Friday, just, I thought
was awful. Didn't watch any of those. I think I watched a little bit of the first round because it was during the holiday week.
Yeah, and that was cool. Like, a playoff game was for the first time being on the college campuses. But I liked that.
Zero chance I'll watch any of that national championship game.
Yeah, I don't know why the NCAA is so adamant about putting basketball and football on Monday nights.
What is it about?
I don't know. I mean, football would be easy. Do it the Saturday before conference championships. There you go. You have a Saturday that the NFL has not claimed yet.
Oh, I don't really care.
I thought I just saw it.
Now that I think about it, I'm not watching it anyway. So
make me the commissioner. I just solved it. NCAA.
One thing I do care a little bit more about is this. We were talking about this morning, Joe, out of Illinois, and I got this from NBC Chicago, News 5 over there, where there's a new bill being introduced. It really caught my eye. That would increase the age requirement for Illinois seniors to retake a behind-the-wheel driver's test. And it caught my eye for a few things. One, I did not know that in Illinois right now, seniors need to retake their driving test at 79 years old. I didn't know that was a thing. And I was unaware that, well, I didn't know the law existed in the first place, but there's a push to push that age up now from 79 years old to 87 years old, which, you know, seems a little old to me.
It does. Hey, and you know, everyone, it's a case, in my opinion, it's a case by case, right? There are some, I had an 85-year-old call in yesterday. The way he was talking, I could have sworn that guy was in his 50s. I mean, he did not sound like an 85-year-old, and a lot don't. But let's be honest. I mean, we've seen some people in their later 70s, in their 80s, and I mean, if you're in your later 70s or 80s, You've seen friends of yours or acquaintances of yours that they have slowed down. I think this is any proposal to push the age up. I don't care what statistics say. I think it's ridiculous. I think when you are old enough to collect your Social Security check, you should be retaking your driving test.
I would have agreed with you, and then I read a little bit more. So this law is a little bit of a give and take. Because Illinois does have a law, you know, saying if you're 79 or older, you need to retake a driver's test if you want to keep your driver's license. However, they do not have a law. They're one of five states that do not have a law that would allow immediate family to report a relative's unsafe driving. And what this bill would do would not only say, okay, you don't have to retake that test until you're 87, but it would also say we're adding the ability of a relative or somebody close to you to report your driving as unsafe and us to look into it that way. So it's a little bit of a give and take that I, after reading into it a little bit more, I think that's a good compromise. If you're going to get one with the other, I think that's a fair compromise because what's more likely to happen? And they point out some statistics. You mentioned some stats, Joe. The crash rate for drivers 75 and older in Illinois was lower than any other age group of legal drivers. And just 0.17% failed that test of 55,000 seniors that took it and had to have their license revoked. So those numbers are super low. And I think that it's probably... Your net result is by changing this law, you're probably going to get more unsafe drivers off the road, even though you increase the age and fewer people will be having to retake this test. You'll get more unsafe drivers off the road from concerned family who will report it themselves than you did previously.
Some concerned family. Because there will be families out there, oh, I know so-and-so's not driving well, but if we take the car away from them, then we'll have to drive them all over the place. You know that happens. You know those arguments happen. So it's not a given. It's not a given.
On the whole, no, it's not a given. But on the whole, I think you're going to get more unsafe drivers, considering that you only had 97 fail and have a license revoked.
I mean... To say only 97, that's 97 potential accidents.
It's 0.17% of all the people who took the test. I think there's going to be more than 0.17% of people who, you know, have somebody over the age of 80 driving who are going to do something about it.
But it only takes one of those 97 to have a awful accident. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying? That involves... numerous other people.
Well, what the stats don't say is how many of those 97 would still fall under the increased age. So you don't know that number.
That's a great
so
point.
You don't know the actual.
That's a good point.
Which it would help to know a little bit, you know, what is, all right, this is 79 and older, 55,000 had to take that exam. What about the new age? You know, how many of those are 87 and older?
What if one of your sons tries to take your license away at 87? You think you'll be okay? In 50 years?
I probably won't even notice.
Yeah.
Right? Like, will I notice? I think I'll be fine.
You don't think we'll still be doing this at 87?
I think they'll be, hopefully they'll be driving me around in my same Toyota. It'll last me that long.
That's a hell of a car.
That I want to go for a run in that thing. I mean, that's the whole thing. We were talking about this morning, Joe, and, I'd say, again, I disagreed at first, like, raising that age, but paired with the other thing, I think, like, okay, that's a smart, especially considering, like in New York City, there's no age where in a lot of states right. You have to take this. At least they have an exam, and they're taking that step. I have been, like, banging the drum on this. I think you should have to retake your examination every single time you renew your license.
Yeah, I'm not against that, the written examination.
That's right. Yeah. Like, that's the thing.
I'm not against that.
And I'm not saying that as looking to take anybody's license away, although I think I see at least one person every single day on the road who I would take their license away, but that's a different story. I'm not meaning to take anybody's license away. I'm also not thinking it should be a big hassle, right? Like, I don't think you should have to do the road test every time you renew your license, but you should do the written test. And by the way, I don't even think you should fail it. You should do the written test, and then if you do fail, guess what? You do it again right after until you get the right. It's like when you take these, sensitivity training or whatever training. You could tell it's really rubbed off on me, Joe. Whatever training you have to take, when you pass, when it time comes to pass at the end, you just keep answering the questions yes. until you get them
like,
right.
Like you said, like all the Odyssey tests that we take.
You get 100 at the end of it. That's what I would do, is just say, to reinforce in your head, remind you of the rules of the road, take the test again until you pass it every time you renew your license.
Yeah, I mean,
it would be so simple to do.
I'm not against that. I also think when you're taking your driver's test, like when you get, we're talking about what, 17, you take your driver's test. I don't think you should be able to use your backup cam for the parallel parking.
Why?
Because your license gives you the right to drive any car. My last car, the last 4 months of that car, it did not have a backup cam. The backup cam died on it. So if you're getting a license using a backup cam, then you should only drive cars with backup cams.
I don't know. That's the least of my concerns, especially because when I parallel parked in my road test, it was behind a car. There yes. was no other car. Like, it wasn't I was parallel parking into a spot. I'm pretty sure most people, when they parallel park in the driveway, there's not two cars. You're not squeezing into a spot.
Well, the agent that I was driving around with made me find a place to parallel park, and I had my mom's 2003 Ford Explorer. I still remember it quite vividly.
Good that you know how to do it.
I'm just saying, there are situations. We live in Buffalo. Have you ever, you've not gotten in your car and backed up and it's all iced over? Like, I think we should have people prepared for not having that and being in a situation where you got to get in or get out.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just thinking realistically. Like, realistically, what are you going to, realistically, are you going to get everybody to get on board with making it way harder to, no.
I've just noticed, I'm reminded this every winter, of the numerous times that your camera is useless because of ice, because you didn't take it to the car wash that day. You know what I mean? It's got dirt. I'm just saying, you should be prepared.
Yeah. And you know what? If your camera is blocked, has dirt or whatever on it, you could also just, in 2 seconds, get out of the car and
not wipe if it's
it
iced,
off with your thumb.
Not if it's iced over, though. Like a few weeks ago when we had... It's not the experience I had. I don't know. One of these days we'll have the cameras that can just heat up itself and it'll melt when you heat up the car.
Someone said, Brian, that's not parallel parking. I know, but it's what I did on the road test and yeah. I passed.
The person that you drove around with liked you.
Yeah. I'm just thinking it would help. You don't even have to do it. Don't do it at the DMV. You go into the DMV to renew your license. Just there's a website. You have to register in there. And before you go to renew your license, you have to take that test until you pass on a computer somewhere. Or if you don't have a computer, you can do it at the DMV if you really need to. But and then they'll see when you go to, this person did it. Okay, you're good to go. It could add no time. And you remember taking that test to get your permit?
Yes.
How long does it take? 5 minutes?
It was easy.
It's the simplest, easiest thing. I just think it would
little book.
Benefit so many people
Yeah.
to do it again. And I think about it. every single day. I think about it every single time I'm at a four-way stop, and everybody's looking at each other like they've just never been in this situation before in their entire life.
But you don't even have to go to the DMV. Like you said, I mean, you take it at home, and then they'll mail you the new license like they do now, and if you don't take it...
Do you not have to go to the DMV to renew your license now?
Unless you need a picture. Yeah. So here's the thing.
Sure.
It's up to you. Because if you don't take the test in time and you let your license expire, that's on you. You didn't take the test.
There you go.
They never sent it out to you.
I think it's a good... I think that is like the path of least resistance. Like easy way. Well, here's the thing. Even though it's an easy thing to do, I think it will benefit a lot of drivers. It'll benefit a lot of people. You might get a few less accidents out of it. Who knows? Even though it seems like a no-brainer, it'll never get done. But what if, Joe, what if we said to the state, you attach a fee to take this test? I mean, it might get done in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, tell Hochul.
Hey, everybody has to pay $5, you know, $10 to take the test every time you renew your license. The state will put that in place tomorrow.
You have to pay to renew your license, right? Or am I making
it? Yeah. But now you got to pay more to take the test.
I like it.
We'll have this done by the end of the week.
But you know, the state will take that one step further. Every time you fail it, you have to repay.
You have to pay another $10, so make sure you study. I'm sorry I opened the can of worms.
Yeah, thanks. Can we not put that in the podcast? Thank you. Are you following the Australian Open?
No.
Okay. Well, tomorrow morning during your show, where you and Susan's show, Jesse Pegula will be in the third round. Starts at 4:40, which means it won't start till 5:30. And my favorite part about the Australian Open is it's something to watch while I'm hard at work here.
Thanks.
You like how I save that?
My favorite part is that I don't really have to pay attention at work anymore, which is nice.
It's like, remember during COVID, we had the Korean baseball league I had on there every night? That was the best. Every morning I'd come in here, turn on ESPN2 and watch Korean baseball.
Yeah. You had no idea what was going on.
No, but it was the only sport going on.
But you had it. We're closing in on Sunday, and I'm sure tomorrow we'll talk a lot about, so especially the weather, which... From the more and more people are talking about it, like I knew it was going to be cold, but it seems like it's going to be colder than I was thinking at first.
Yeah, and it's just going to get colder as the game goes on. By the fourth quarter, it could resemble the playoff game in 2022 against the Patriots.
Which, that was...
All-time cold.
Yeah, you need a new word.
Patriots cold.
That was... Ugh.
Yeah,
cold.
I'll have to go dig those pictures out of my phone of the top of my beer can freezing within minutes of opening it.
You couldn't be outside cold. I mean, like that was the feeling for a lot of people.
But you know what? Unlike every other game this season, I have already cleaned all my game day clothes, right? So I'm not doing it Saturday night, and I have exactly what layers are going where, and I'm all ready. I am all ready.
Well, I got a question to ask you about that game against the Patriots, and we'll talk about the cold and more stuff tomorrow, I'm sure.
Ooh, I like that tease.
Yeah.
Back tomorrow, David is back, and he's next after the news with Lucas on WBEN.